What's up? This is Dominique Beaumonte, and you are listening to Season with Salt, the podcast. I start having this very elaborate, deep thinking around salt ties. And probably from two perspectives. The first perspective is that sometimes people have salt ties with specific people that they've had inappropriate relationships with, or appropriate relationships that dishonor God. Or sometimes the salt ties are with a variety of different people because of the way that we have regarded or and or honored our bodies. And let me just start by doing some work to define some of these. So, what is a soul tie? A soul tie is a very sticky bond between two people that is really birthed in vulnerability and often sexual, but definitely emotional, and often difficult to break. And sometimes you hear people talking about their participation in toxic relationships. I think that that's one way of talking about soul ties. The thing that got me to thinking about this, and if you know me, you know I can have really foreign ideas. I feel like Jesus in a way, when he preached in parables, and people would ask, why do you preach in parables? And Jesus began to explain to the disciples, even I have to preach in parables because y'all are so lost that I have to make a conscious effort to connect what you know with what you have decided not to know. Anyway, even the word parable, it deals with this idea of a comparison, right, between what we know and what we don't know. So Jesus was very intentional about trying to use what people knew to connect with what they didn't know. So sometimes I get invested in that. And I notice a theme in sort of the rise of sex, the idea of sex being so unpersonal now that even the most intimate interaction that a man and a woman can have together is plagued by this sort of idea that it's no longer intimate or personal, right? It could be with anybody at any time, any place. And the result of that is that people unashamedly make a connection between even the soul and sex. People that believe that they provide effective oral sex use terms like snatching of the soul, or there are all these things that have become so complex that the idea of having a soul tie makes a lot of sense, right? Because I guess I'm just talking about it from the perspective that soul ties can be primarily sexual. There are people who are in toxic relationships, abusive relationships, relationships with individuals that they know have a mental and emotional imbalance. They're in relationships with narcissists, and they can name that character trait in a person, but they are still in that relationship with that person, and they find it difficult to either end the relationship or remain outside of a relationship with that person, whether it be emotional and or physical. And I can't help but to think how the toxicity of a soul tie like overlaps in so many different areas of a person's life without them realizing it. How many times have you had a poor working relationship, particularly with somebody of the opposite sex, because of their challenges with either navigating their own sexuality, their challenges with navigating sexuality with the opposite sex, or just the toxicity that comes as a result of relationships? I mean, a better way of saying that is I have been in professional, quote unquote, relationships with people where they encountered and dealt with me as though I was their husband, right? You even hear people like casually saying, oh, that's my work husband, or that's my, right? Because people struggle to separate, like, just because sex is so fluid, like giving yourself to somebody else is no longer some secret, intimate, like, thing where you're pursuing this opportunity to give one person for the rest of your life, like, your essence and your being. Like, people are just giving it away. And when I say people, my aim is not to be judgmental, because I too have been a giver and a taker, right? Not as a Christian, but as somebody who has not always yielded to God's plan for my life, I have seen and experienced or been at the center of that. So hopefully I've said something that makes sense already, because sometimes as a podcaster, especially when you're talking to yourself, like you think it all makes sense and you have nobody that's like there to affirm, like, yeah, that's true. So I wanted to provide some signs that you may have an unhealthy soul tie. And I preface this by just saying that I found this really neat article on the internet. So these are not my own things, but these are things that I have thought and sort of prayed over. And I will elaborate or pontificate based on some of these items when I'm reading them to you. And I'll put the information for where I found them in the podcast episode notes, but I wanted to share these. So, signs that you may have an unhealthy soul tie. 1, your level of emotional spiritual connection does not match the level of commitment. Okay? Like, think about that. When you have, you're overwhelmingly emotionally connected and involved with someone, and there is a lapse in commitment, right? Like, so it's purely sexual because the person does not want to commit to you in totality, right? They don't want to make you the only person, right? Like, there is, and I believe they're using spiritual in a way that I wouldn't necessarily use spiritual, but the idea here is that there is an unevenness in commitment and emotional connectedness, right? Which is dangerous. Okay, 2, you are unable to disconnect or set healthy boundaries with the person, right? And so even in conflict, can't disconnect. you see a lot of memes now where people are saying, like, you're my person, it don't matter what. Don't matter what you do, you ain't going nowhere. I'm going to kill you if you go somewhere. I seen a meme the other day or a TikTok video that suggests that the gentleman was saying, I need to have some space. And the person was like, okay, space. Would you like to, you either going to go to another room here or you going to go see the father? Like, just very toxic, right? But the inability to create healthy boundaries, and healthy boundaries have everything to do with our time, our talents, and our treasure, right? So not being able to create space and time away, not being able to separate one's resources from meeting the needs of other people, like just really unhealthy, like the absence of logic when it comes to how you navigate your time, your talent, and your treasure when you're with someone that you're in an inappropriate soul tie with. You compare other relationships to the one with this person. And that's interesting, right? Because relationship is such a fluid word, right? Because you can be in a relationship that is absent of commitment, absent of like transparency, absent of mutual agreement about the status of that relationship, but still be comparing that relationship with other people's relationship, right? This is not on this list, but I would also add that sometimes our relationships, particularly when they are soul ties that are unhealthy, sometimes can be driven by fantasy. So we can apply our fantasy to an unhealthy relationship that we know is not going anywhere, right? Wanting to be married, wanting to have children, wanting to be in a relationship like other friends and family. And so allowing a false sense of relationship to exist so that you feel, you know, like you're accomplishing the same thing that other people are accomplishing, right? The author mentioned you wonder what they would think about what you say or do. So like even in their absence, like you're considering in an unhealthy way, like their validation for your actions, your behaviors, your thoughts. And not in a healthy way, but in a way that makes you almost not your own person, right? That makes you somebody that is 100% like connected to a person, which is crazy because that's so intimate. Like that's the sort of the height of intimacy when you care so much about what somebody else thinks. But it's crazy when that is connected to somebody that doesn't have the capacity to commit or can't, and all the stuff that we've already been talking about. Okay. You find yourself mirroring their negative opinions, behaviors, and attitudes, right? So they say something, you internalize it, you make it about, you make it true, you make what they say true, which is really dangerous because like that person may be saying things that they know not to be true, for the sake of controlling you and making you feel a certain way. One example might be saying, you don't love me. And so since I use that as a opportunity to control you, then you work to prove that you do love me, even though I know you love me, whether it be healthy or not. I leverage the idea that you don't love me so that I can manipulate and use you and get you to do things that I need you to do. So I'm getting my needs met through manipulation. So that's the result of a negative soul tie. Okay. You often ignore the negative effect the person has on other aspects of your life, right? So you try to act like other people in other systems are the problem when the relationship that you are in, that toxic relationship, is really taking, having an effect, if you will, on the ways that you experience other situations. That could be like a relationship with your mother, or like the relationship with your children, or how you show up at work, being in denial, or like isolating a toxic relationship as just a toxic relationship, without taking into consideration the impact that that relationship has on other relationships that you have, the things that you have to be, places that you have to go. You have parallel experiences to them even long after ending contact, going through similar struggles at the same time. Like, you hear about things and you're like, oh, like they're going through the same thing, or they're struggling to be connected, or they're, you know, these are just some of the things that people experience. And I wanted to just kind of go through these things. This kind of seems like, oh, you're going through this really negative list of things. I wanted to go through these things because I think sometimes when we do not name them, like, we normalize them. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. When you don't name something to be what it is, you are almost to an extent normalizing it to be something that is not bad or that is okay. Right. And I think that sometimes you have to say, this is an unhealthy relationship. And admission that something is unhealthy, like, is the first step, right? I mean, we know. You talk about like 12-step programs and stuff, and they always said that the first step. And that's not really something that Alcoholics Anonymous came up with, because we talk about in our relationship with Christ, the first thing that we have to do is admit that we are a sinner. So that's biblical. I don't got nothing to do with Alcoholics Anonymous stole that from Jesus or whatever. So that's these are the realities of being in soul ties. And let me just say that you can be in a negative soul tie with a family member. You can be in a negative soul tie with somebody that you've been married to. You can be in a negative soul tie with somebody at work, a manager, a direct report. You can be in a negative soul tie with a system, right? I said, let me just talk about that for 3 minutes, because some of us know that we work in toxic environments. But we would rather stay in those toxic environments than challenge ourselves to be different, do different, try different things, because we'd rather be comfortable and toxic than face the fear of going outside of our comfort zone. That's a toxic soul tie in itself, right? People every day, and all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we can think about times in our lives where we chose to be comfortable over having peace, or we chose to be comfortable over having joy. Like, we just said that it's just better to be, I can handle this. I only got 6 more years before retirement, or the kids are only 12, and when they turn 18, maybe I'll do something different. Or we've been in a relationship for 3 years, and I don't feel like starting over because we might get engaged, or that's my baby mama, or whatever it might be. Like, we let ourselves be in situations and spaces based on systemic things, and we'd rather be comfortable. So we have to watch that. So we've talked about what that looks like, what a negative soul tie looks like. Now let's talk about what it takes to break a soul tie. First of all, this is a Christian podcast about Jesus, so let us just note that the only person, the only human, the only being that can break a soul tie, that it can be the conduit to breaking a soul tie, is Jesus the Christ. And I say that because sometimes we get self-help and we read books and we watch videos and we listen to Yana and we watch TD Jakes and we like are standing on this promise that we're gonna do, we're gonna break this soul type. We're not gonna call this person, we're gonna delete them from our world and our social media and our technology, and we're gonna do it, and we're gonna get a new job, and we're never gonna look back. And we think that that's it. The reality is you cannot break a soul tie by yourself. You need the power of God to do so, because when you break a soul tie on your own, you might separate, right, from the actual physical presence of that soul tie, but there is still the residue of that soul tie in you unless God cleans it out. And so I want to just establish that, because some people get a quick fix or they have a temporary solution, and a soul tie is a long-term process. And I applaud people who get out of toxic relationships and take time to heal and to grow and to trust God to help them be a better human being. Because you can be a good person and be in a bad soul tie and not realize how much that soul tie made you somebody that you do not recognize. And I know a lot of people that often talk about the relationships that they are in with negative people and what that person does and what that person says and how evil they are and how they can't believe that they do stuff. But like, they don't realize that what they are manifesting is as bad as that person, because people, if they're evil, they're taking you with them. Right? Like, if you're going to sit up in a relationship with somebody that's evil, you ultimately will be doing evil with them or thinking evil towards them. Evil, if evil is involved, it's going to transfer, right? So here's the thing. It takes Jesus and it takes the confession. It takes knowing that you have to recognize what you are in a negative soul tie with, or for whom you are in a negative soul tie with. It takes that as a step one, right? And then the work that Christ leads us through and to is cutting things off at the root, right? Because if you think about a natural plant, right? If you cut it off at the bulb, or if you cut it off at the neck, if the roots are still grounded, if the roots are still in the ground, there is the possibility that that plant or flower will return. It will rebud because it is still grounded in the soil. And sometimes we feel good about the temporary changes that we make when we cut things off so that they're no longer visible. But if you know anything about a plant or a tree, you know that no matter how much trimming you do, the tree is going to grow. The plant is going to continue to grow if it is rooted in the ground. And so the work is to deroot. Derooting has everything to do with self-evaluation as much as it has to do with how you get into such. Because some people, they will go into a long oration about what the other person did and how they made them feel and how wrong they were. And as you mature and grow out of negative soul ties, you will realize that a part of the challenge was that you were willing to submit yourself to that soul tie regardless of what that person presented. And then you became that thing, right? So I think it takes really being man or woman or person enough to say, you know what? Like, I am responsible for what I expose myself to. That's hard in the beginning. And one of the things about being vulnerable in Christ, this is going to be a long episode because I'm still talking and it's been like 25 minutes. One of the things about being vulnerable in Christ is that it's kind of like the vulnerability that we experience in the arms of our mother, or somebody that is a caring force for us, right? Vulnerability is easier when we trust the person that we are in connection with, right? And trying to achieve vulnerability outside of the context of Christ is going to be very hard for you. It's going to be very hard for us, right? Because we're not naturally given to be vulnerable outside of the context of ourselves, because we end up going in cycles where we blame other people. And vulnerability in the arms of Christ is accepting where his will conflicted with our will, right? And being in a space of gratitude for his ability to reconcile us, right? So if I'm in a place where I'm willing to say I was wrong, and I'm in the loving arms of Christ, it would be counterproductive for me to renege on what I am confessing to God that I did that got me in a negative self-talk, right? So, I don't know how I got on that, but it's in you. Okay, so I start the work of cutting at the root, right? I get in a space of vulnerability in the arms of God, where I trust God enough to forgive me, and I thank him for reconciling me, even though my decisions do not align with his will. And I participate in the process of repenting for the things that I did to contribute to where I got myself into. Because God loves a heart that will receive or will concede to God's will, right? He's like, oh, your heart wants to align with what I wanted to align with. I'm gonna receive that. And then the work of rebuilding yourself from that experience has everything to do with acknowledging that you are not who you were in that soul tie, but you are everything that God intended for you to be, right? Even if you don't know what that is, because sometimes we don't know what God intended for us to be. We learn God's purpose for our lives. And let's be honest, most of us, Dominique, has learned God's divine purpose for my life. I experienced that as a result of being in situations that God did not intend for me to be in. Being in relationships that God did not intend for me to be in, and feeling like, even if it felt good in the moment, when I reflect back, I'm like, oh, I wasn't supposed to be doing that. That's not what God had planned for me at all. Like, he's like, what in the world? Why were you doing that? So then I began the process of reclaiming who I am, in my authority and in my personhood, based on who Christ created me to be. And so when I'm in a toxic relationship, I cannot confess what God's word says about me, because I'm so entangled with what that person thinks about me or what that system feels about me. And so there's a conflict, right, between what God said and the situation that I'm in. When I separate myself from that soul tie, I can name the things that God says I am without feeling like, oh, it's impossible, because that I'm the head and not the tail, because the person that I'm with has made me believe that no matter what I do, I am the tail. And let me just say that these are not foreign to relationships that are quote unquote Christian. People are in relationships with other people who identify as believers, and they are toxic relationships, because toxic is toxic. And some people have weaponized the Bible, right? Some people have weaponized Christianity to make it something that holds people in a box so that they become who they want them to be and not who God calls them to be. So let's acknowledge that. We got to acknowledge that. A common theme, a common thread in breaking soul ties is honesty. It's honesty with yourself about what you know to be right. And then it is secondarily about acceptance. If I accept in totality who I believe God ordained and called me to be, some things are going to automatically drop off of my life. Some things are going to automatically drop off my life because they're not going to be in alignment with what I know to be true about God, particularly concerning me. So let me just say three things and then I'll be done. If you're considering some of the things that I've said today, you're thinking about negative soul ties that you are attached to, and you are in a space of vulnerability around those things. Nothing would be more important than your confession that you need God to help you. There is no book that you can read. There is no person that you can talk to on this earth. There's no podcast that you can listen to. There's no sermon that you can hear that will be more impactful to you than a relationship with God. Secondarily, the word of the Lord declares about itself that His word should be a lamp unto our feet. And so our path to breaking soul ties, if there is a book, it is the word of God that leads and guides us. Breaking a soul tie is heart work. If you have natural problems with your heart, natural problems with your natural heart, you get a pacemaker, you take an EKG, you take a stress test, you do all these things to assess the strength of your heart. And then after the strength of your heart has been assessed, you get the necessary medicine or instruction from your medical professional about what to do next. And a wise heart is a heart that obeys instruction, right? So if you want a stronger natural heart, you do what the doctor says. If you want to strengthen your heart, then you do what God's word says. And you know, people say all the time, well, you know, your heart doesn't, you know, the heart knows no direction. Like, the heart is careless. It just does what it wants. That is outside of the context of a heart that knows God. It's impossible to have a heart in pursuit of God that conflicts, that is rather in alignment with a heart that is pursuing something that is not of God. And you're going to feel that conflict because it's like war, and not like the pretty war where, like, it's not a thumb wrestling match. It's the war that is loud and difficult to navigate, right? It's a big war. And so the prayer I'm going to pray now is for the person that's still listening to this podcast after 30 some minutes. Thank you for one. But it's a prayer that God will begin to take the vulnerability of your heart and not just show you how you messed up with a person or a system, but reveal to you who you are to God. Because that's the first thing. When I know who I am, to people who are most important, I start realigning my behavior. I start talking and saying different things that aren't just things that I want to say, right? So here's the prayer. God, we confess that we have exposed ourselves to things, to relationships, to systems. Sometimes we needed to expose ourselves to the system. We needed a job. We needed companionship. We needed all these things. So we expose ourselves to systems and things that cause us to take our energy, cause us to take our focus off of you. And in the process, we have lost ourselves in these negative and toxic relationships. And so, God, we are committing to breaking cycles of pain and distrust and dishonor by being obedient to your will, by being in reflection and pursuit of who you have called us to be alone, that alone. And we thank you that when we love the wrong way or love the wrong person or fell in love with the wrong system, that you are still there declaring your love for us and waiting to reconcile us. Thank you, Jesus. And you didn't have to. And for God, we give you praise. And we thank you for the opportunity to repent, to pray, to sit at your feet, and to ask you to heal a heart that you didn't break. In Jesus' name, amen. Season, whistle, whistle.